Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we sit down with Matt Harkness, the president of Hard Rock Atlantic City, less than a week after the opening of his property, to talk about the quick revamp of the former Trump Taj Mahal into the Hard Rock. The GGB Podcast is brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the nation's leading affiliate marketing service for land-based and online casinos, and also for sports betting. When Hard Rock International, Joe Gingoli, and Jack Morris bought the former Trump Taj Mahal in 2017, they envisioned turning it into a glittering gem of the Hard Rock chain. But when construction started in October 2017, it seemed doubtful that the property would open by the summer of this year. Yet a massive effort by everyone involved allowed the Hard Rock to open on June 28th and take advantage of the Independence Day week that followed. Gaming veteran Matt Harkness was given the reins at Hard Rock AC and directed the staffing, training, and opening of the property. He talks about his relationships with the city, the state, and the employees as they move forward toward opening day. He spoke with me at his offices in Hard Rock, Atlantic City, just a week after opening in July. Matt Harkness, thanks for joining us on the podcast today. It's good to see you. We've known each other for quite some time, and I'm glad to see you back in Atlantic City. Congratulations on the new property. It's fantastic.
Thank you, Roger. It's great to be talking with you, and it is great to be back in Atlantic City. And the property is terrific. So.
Yeah.
Happy to see you.
So I was here last October before I left for the winter, and I didn't think you would ever get done. I mean, you barely just touched the minarets then, you know. And I know Jim said we're going to be open by the summer, but no way, you know.
Oh, yeah. No,
I thought maybe 2019 you'd be open, but what an incredible job. What was the biggest challenge of getting it open by June 28th when you did?
You know, there was a lot of challenges, but they were all, you know, really positive things to be going through because we were obviously taking a property that was in disrepair and making it beautiful. So. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of fun.
Right.
The other challenging part, obviously, is bringing on a lot of staff and the staff that we needed to run the property. But that was a challenge. It was also fun.
Sure,
because
right.
It was a great process. We had over 60,000 applicants.
Mm-hmm.
Of that group, we picked about 3,500 that are running this property now.
Right.
And we really got the best of the best. And it was great to see the enthusiasm these people brought. And now we're seeing the level of service that they're providing to the guests that are coming here. It's just a really positive process
right.
to be involved in.
I saw some videos of how you did your hiring process, and it's pretty interesting. There's almost like an audition.
It absolutely is. It's really auditioning people. The process is more than just the actual auditioning part. It starts with the online application where there's questions that are asked, and we're able to see if people are of the mindset to be good service providers,
right.
quite frankly. And then from there, there was an invitation to come to an interview process, really quite unlike anything you've ever seen before, because
right.
it was basically an audition.
Mm-hmm.
We were auditioning people to see if they had the personality that they could project the positive image that we're looking to project as part of Hard Rock.
Right.
And then from that process, then they would meet with the department heads and the technical skills that were required for the position. So it was a multifaceted process that really got us to the point where we have the level of service that we currently do.
Right. So you just showed me your to-do list, which is pretty long. You know, it's a great property, but you're finding out, you know, still you've only been open for a week, so I'm sure there's a lot of things that are popping up. What do you see your big challenge as right now going forward?
Well, the guests tell us what they're looking for. And,
right.
and you can also, you can do focus groups, you can do all kinds of studies. But once a property's open, whether it's a small restaurant or a large casino, the guests are going to tell you that this is what they want.
Right.
And if you listen to the guests, mm-hmm. that's how you learn what you need to change.
Right.
And those changes are usually very small, but
sure.
they make a big difference to the guests that are coming. So it's really looking at the detail. I think the difference between excellence and mediocrity is attention to detail, and we have to be very detail-oriented
mm-hmm.
when we're dealing in the hospitality industry.
Sure.
So those lists are things we're hearing from the guests, but also from the staff.
Yeah.
The employees are dealing with the guests and issues that the employees have in the daily course of their job.
Mm-hmm.
Those are obviously very important as well. So it is a long list, but it's not a list of things that are they're things that are very specific and very detailed.
Right. It's not like one big problem out there. There's a lot of little things that once you fix them, you'll be in pretty good shape.
Well, and that will continue. That never stops.
Right,
that list is ever ongoing because you continue to get feedback, whether it's positive or otherwise, from the guests and the employees. And I think part of the credibility that we have as managers is to be able to address those and actually, where we can, facilitate change that's positive.
Okay, great. So I've lived in Atlantic City a long time, and there's always been a reputation of the city government being hard to work with. And the fact that you opened this place in 10 months is just surprising just in that respect, that the city didn't throw a lot of hurdles in your row. How was it working with the city and the inspectors and the licensing and all that kind of stuff?
You know, it went incredibly smoothly, Roger. From the mayor to the division of gaming enforcement to the Casino Control Commission, everybody we dealt with, state level, mm-hmm. county level, everybody we dealt with was very cooperative, very helpful. We got a lot of things done that I you know, quite frankly, I worked in this market 13 years ago and left, and I don't know that 15, 20 years ago that it would have been the same as it was now. And I think that level of cooperation, that business-friendly sense, is really a very, very positive thing for Atlantic City.
And at the same time, you went through a change of administration as well. So, you know, and it didn't change from one mayor to the next.
No, we really, that continuity of business-friendly attitude continued. Mm-hmm. It was really positive.
And I know you got the same treatment from the regulators, from the Division of Gaming Enforcement, Dave Rebuck. You know, I talked to him last summer when we were talking about getting the Hard Rock up. He said, we're going to cooperate as much as we can. That was even before we talked about Ocean, and he had to do two at one time. So what kind of cooperation did you get from them?
Unbelievable. Again, going back to my days here previously, it's really a breath of fresh air, in my opinion, that the regulators have become. They're still regulated, and they have to do their jobs. They have to make sure that, and we want them to do their jobs. We want to make sure that the guests have a feeling of that they're not concerned about how these casinos are regulated.
Sure.
It's very important. So there's definitely a trust factor involved. So they have to do their jobs, and we respect that, we honor that, and we certainly work with them to ensure that we're doing everything, that we're staying within the parameters of the regulations. That being said, there's been. What I saw was an incredible great degree of cooperation, and it wasn't a got you attitude. It was a let's work together and make this right, which was great to see.
Right. So we're sitting here in the office, and I think I've interviewed every president of the Trump Organization, including the original owner himself. So this building was really totally a Trump building, even after he departed equity in the company. What did you have to do to kind of de-Trump the building, beginning with the minarets?
Well, what didn't we have to do?
It was a
color scheme. It was really everything.
Uh-huh.
You know, the minarets, the elephants. It goes on and on. But really what we hear from the guests and what we can just see ourselves is that this is a Hard Rock Casino.
Right.
This is a Hard Rock Casino Hotel. We're very proud of that brand. We're very excited about that brand. It's obviously bringing a ton of people into the building.
Mm-hmm.
So we went from, we don't really see this as this used to be something. This is what it is now, which is a Hard Rock Casino.
Right. No question. And at the same time, there are people that really love the Trump hotels. And I from the just the discussions I've had, the posts I've seen on the Internet, even those people seem to be happy here.
They are. I've run into a lot of guests, and obviously are out on the floor talking to people and getting the input that's incredibly valuable to us. And one of the things I hear all the time is, I played here for years and years, and I'm so happy you're back. I love it here. I love the building. So it's that is great to have that kind of built-in, you know, group of guests that want to come to the property.
Right. Now, you've also done all the rooms. Did you do the new tower, too, the chairman tower?
We definitely freshened it up.
Yeah.
It's much, much better product than it was, say, 2 years ago.
Right.
So yes.
But the original tower, you did all the rooms over completely.
We did not do them over completely, but we did where they needed to be done, so they look like a brand new room.
Right. Okay, great. And reaction from the guests on the rooms themselves?
Spectacular.
Yeah.
People are very happy. The reaction to the entire property from top to bottom has been incredibly positive.
I ran into Tom Sykes on opening night. Tom is one of the principals and social architects who was responsible for helping to design this place, and I complimented him on how it has changed, how the the hallways now are kind of wandering in kind of a winding type of pattern.
It's called curvilinear.
Yeah, exactly right. And he said, oh, it's all about discovery. And he's right, because you go around a corner and you see something new. How much did you have input, into that kind of design process?
A lot of that was done prior to me getting here. Mm-hmm. The team in Florida, from Joe Emanuel, obviously Jim Allen, John
right.
Lucas, the JBI folks that right. were the design, the primary design mm-hmm. people from New York, all those people are incredibly talented mm-hmm. and have done this many, many times
right.
before. So I was very happy to be a part of something from an operational standpoint mm-hmm. that already had an outstanding design behind
right.
it.
And a lot of proof that this kind of thing works. So why step in the middle?
100%.
Yeah,
100%.
Exactly. You know, I kind of view this as getting the old band back together, you know, because some of the people I ran into here, and, you know, just starting with John Lucas, and I saw Ed Tracy here, former president
sure.
of this hotel. Ed is now with Hard Rock Corporate,
yep.
Running their Asian division.
That's correct.
You know, I saw Larry Mullen, you know, of course you have Todd Moyer as the marketing person,
yep.
sharing the Trump organization in and around, are really involved in this. Was that?
A lot of it was family reasons.
Mm-hmm.
For myself, we have a grandchild in
right.
Philadelphia, son and daughter-in-law.
Yeah.
So there is a lift.
Mm-hmm.
The shore, the whole thing. So
right.
there is a sort of a feeling of coming back home for a lot of people.
Right.
The CFO, Lorette Pitts,
mm-hmm.
she
right.
worked, started in Atlantic City, came back. There
yeah.
you go down a line of people. Our slot VP, our table VP, all started in Atlantic City
mm-hmm.
and have come back.
Right.
Worked in other markets and come back.
Right.
So it is sort of a reoccurring theme, but it's also good to have people that have experience in other markets and,
right.
and have seen other things that can work in other markets and apply them here as well. So it gives you really a broader viewpoint of the business aspects of running these places.
Sure. A lot of times you feel like you're in a cocoon in Atlantic City, that this is the only market. But a lot of things that work in the Midwest or tribal casinos where you worked for a while would work in Atlantic City as well.
100% correct. And it gives you a different aspect and a different view of how things can be done.
Right. Let's talk about marketing. You know, you guys were very aggressive right from the start. You did the Welcome Center, I think, in the outlet
preview
hall,
center, yep.
Right. So you started signing up players for cards there.
We did.
You know, you were very much out front. You know, right from the start, right from you know at least the end of last year. What was the idea behind that? I mean, you had a little bit of a database for the Northeast, but not a big one. So was it really to build the database?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that have changed over the years with casino gaming, casino marketing, but the database is still really a primary driver.
Right, sure.
We wanted to, as quickly as possible, start the database, get that into gear.
Mm-hmm.
We are signing people up en masse through every single day at
right.
a promotion booth, down on the floor and in the pits, everywhere we can. So the sooner you build that database, the better it is for your market outreach and,
sure.
and get the return trips.
Right. How many did you sign up prior to opening?
It was over 70,000.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's a pretty good number right there,
yep.
but I know you probably did that in the first day here. So one of the unique things you did was tier matching.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a gold level card at one casino, you come here, you get the same level. And that really has resonated here in Atlantic City since you opened. Now everybody's following you, and in this market, to follow the leader and being the leader is always a good thing. What was the idea behind that?
We thought it made a lot of sense. These are people that guests that have obviously proven that they have reached that reward level at other casinos,
right.
and it seemed to make sense to us to reward them likewise.
Sure. And it makes sense probably just to give them a shot. You know, if they like the place, they're gonna you know give you a lot of play as well. So
we think we have a premier property. We know we have a premier property. I
mm-hmm.
believe it's the best in the Northeast, and we want to showcase it. We want people to come back, see it, experience it, and continue to be return guests.
Okay. So tell me about the card program, the system you're using. Is it the same one that Hard Rock Corporate has used in Florida and elsewhere, or did you kind of tweak it for Atlantic City
a little bit? It's very similar. It's
yeah.
a wild card, which is used in Florida.
Right.
There are some differences here and there, but it's very similar to what's used in Florida,
mm-hmm.
yes.
Okay. A friend of mine helped you on the Fuller layer, Charlie Lombardo, with the slot placement.
Great human being. Just a wonderful
Charlie's
guy.
A great guy. He knows slots like the back of his hand. How has that been performing so far?
It's very, very well. Very positive response from the guests. There's a great flow of traffic. People can see the machines. It's the layout is great. Charlie is just a great guy to work with. Incredibly knowledgeable.
Well, you have such it was such a big floor under the Taj. I know you've taken a little part about it, but you're able to spread the machines out quite a bit, so you don't see the lines of slots and things like that. Well, that was the typical in Atlantic City in the old
days. That's really changed over the years, as you know. The floor design has become more open, really, at every casino.
Sure, right.
And it's that curvilinear that you're mentioning before really plays a part in how the guests are going to get through the casino, as opposed to cornrows of machines.
Sure.
It's a much better feel and look.
Right. And it's certainly bright down there, which I think people enjoy as well.
They do. I mean, we've had so many positive responses to the bright light levels in the casino that we're really happy about that.
Yeah, the old days are not around anymore, where you go into a dark casino and you don't know what time it is. No clocks on the wall. There's still no clocks on the wall, but there's a lot of natural light also that comes.
There is.
Yeah.
There is. It really is. It's my opinion. It's just a beautiful casino.
Right. Right. Tell me about your food and beverage concept. You kept a couple of restaurants that were here.
We did. There were some legacy restaurants that the leases were assumed. We obviously have El Molino,
right,
which is an incredible, iconic brand out of New York.
Mm-hmm.
We have Robert Steakhouse. We have Sugar Factory is really a very cool, hip brand that does incredibly well, and we're very happy to be having them come on board. We have our own concepts, which are really spectacular. Kuro, which is an Asian fusion restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
It's an award-winning brand in Florida at the two main properties of Hollywood and Tampa. And they just does incredible.
Yeah.
And the food there is just spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really, really unique experience and just delicious product. In addition to that, we have Council Oak Fish, which Council Oak is a very symbolic gathering place tree for the Seminole Tribes Council.
Mm-hmm.
So that name is very symbolic to the Seminole Tribe, and we incorporated that name into the seafood house that we have on the first floor.
Okay.
Obviously, we have what I think is the nicest Hard Rock Cafe you'll ever see, just absolutely beautiful. That is right in the center of the casino. You walk through and boom, it's right there. And I think it's the nicest Hard Rock Cafe, like I said, I've ever seen.
Yeah.
In addition, we have the Fresh Harvest Buffet, which is on the second level. Does an incredible product there.
I ate in there the first night.
Yeah, really, really good. Really good product. So those are the main offerings. We obviously have Saganos, which opened I hate to use the word food court, because what the product he put out there is just spectacular. It's absolutely beautiful, beautifully designed, great product. And there's five different outlets there. We also have White House.
Right.
White House Subs. I mean, it's you talk about iconic.
How iconic can you get it?
It's about it right there. So that is a great partner that we're very happy to have back as well.
Right, no question. And Jim mentioned at the grand opening that you're trying out a new hamburger experience at the Hard Rock Cafe.
We did, and it's absolutely delicious. I'm not a chef, but there's steak involved, and I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, okay, great.
But it was delicious, I can tell you that.
Well, he says it might go across the entire Hard Rock Cafe chain, which would be a pretty nice...
Cannot comment to that, but it was a delicious hamburger.
So, meetings and conventions. I mean, you got a great... You really did over the Edis Arena, and you know, kudos for keeping the name. I mean, Jim knows the background of Mark Edis, who was named after. He was very emotional at the grand opening when he was talking about that and brought up Mark's son. So, but that aside, you've done a beautiful job redoing that, because it was kind of cavernous right now, but the sound in there was incredible. What's been the response in the first few shows?
Unbelievable. Yeah. In fact, we had Third Eye Blind in there last night and did an incredible job. Standing area and the seating area was very, very, very well received show. Yeah. And the other shows that we had, obviously, we had Pitbull in there, we had Carrie Underwood, and the acts that are coming up this weekend. We have two nights of Florida Georgia Line and then Maroon 5 on Sunday. So we're booking incredible acts in there. But to go to your question on the room itself, a lot of time and effort and money clearly was put into expanding the seating.
Right.
It's 6,000 seats now. In addition to that, the acoustics level, to your point, far better than it was. There was definitely acoustic issues in the past, and those are gone now. It's a much better experience. The line of sights are better. Mm-hmm. It's just a nicer room. The concessions, when you come into what used to be the pre-function space, is now a concession, but it's still pre-function.
Mm-hmm.
just incredible. I mean, it's a food outlet in and of itself, food and beverage outlet in and of itself. And
there's
four main stations with about 10 different lines. And it's just an incredible experience, and the guests are able to very quickly get a refreshment and go back into enjoy the venue.
Great. So I'm assuming you have plans to do sporting events in there as well?
There is. We already have a couple of – there's a boxing, an HBO boxing event that's going to be occurring. There's others, and I think that right off the top of my head, I cannot remember what's been published and what's not, but there's definitely – there's more of the same coming. So
boxing and MMA and that kind
of
thing.
Yeah, that kind of thing for sure. Right. Bernie Dillon is our entertainment guy, and there's nobody better than him at the entertainment side of things as well as on the sporting and boxing side.
Right. Yeah.
So he's right on it, and – We're very lucky to have him as part of the team.
I saw a boxing match in Hollywood that Bernie put on when he was with him down there.
Yeah.
You know, it's always a great thing to see boxing in Atlantic City. And you know, obviously Trump was a leader of that when he was here, and it'd be nice to see Hard Rock bring that back.
Yeah, no, it is. It's happening, and I'm very excited to be a part of it.
So the overall entertainment philosophy, you've committed to 365 days of entertainment this year, and we'll see what happens next year. But as Jim Allen pointed out, you're an entertainment company, not a gaming company.
Oh, Hard Rock is absolutely an entertainment company. It's synonymous with music. Mm-hmm. So the international language is music. It's being spoken very loudly here at Hard Rock Atlantic City.
Mm-hmm.
The arena you mentioned, we've got incredible A-list acts going to there. We've got incredible. I was at the premiere of the Motown Legend program, Motown Live. It's that's in the Soundwaves Theater, which is about a 1,400-seat theater.
Right.
Incredible show, incredible talent. It's a live music. It's not canned music.
Right.
It's just a great experience. So we have that running. We have, obviously, Howie Mandel's Comedy Stop is here at our property.
Sure.
That's already happened. We've had comedy acts in there. Howie Mandel's been here. He's going to be here. This is part of his world. And he's about as relevant you can get for a comedian. The guy's on TV. He's extremely relevant. We're really very happy to be partnered with him. The entertainment that we have outside of those two rooms is also very robust.
Right.
We have, right now, there's five stages for live music outside of the two theaters.
Right.
We have in our lobby bar, which is located, as you assume, right by the lobby, live music. And it's hopping in there.
Mm-hmm.
It is absolutely hopping. Great venue. We also have two stages in the Hard Rock Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
One in the front by the casino and the other on the boardwalk side.
Right.
And it's just a beautiful, beautiful little room.
I love the boardwalk side.
Yeah.
Really
cool.
Murals.
It's just a great setup back there. Very cool bar. And we've had Jerry Blavitz there, and the folks line dancing, and it was just a lot of fun. Really, really great. So that's and in addition to that, outside of Curo and Council Oak Fish, there is a stage there for a little more, quieter, softer type music, but for the bar crowd there. So the place is really hopping with music.
Right.
And those of you that haven't been there, that are your listeners, the atrium, when you first walk in, is a musical experience in and of itself.
Yep.
It's a visual musical experience, as is the atrium on the boardwalk.
Right.
So both of those have a ton of music, a ton of sound, a ton of visual impressions that are music-oriented.
Right.
Videos and just all kinds of very cool things. And it's hard to describe unless you've been here, but it's about 300 degrees out of 360 degrees around of that atrium where there used to be big chandeliers, is now an entertainment event.
Right. Talk about de-trumping the chandelier.
Oh, my goodness.
You've got a big guitar on the ceiling, and it's an incredible experience just to walk in there. So, great job on that. That you also have a beach bar.
We do have a beach bar.
I didn't realize that was going to be there.
That is there, and it's going strong, and that is the fifth stage that we currently have on the property right now, and it does incredibly well. So that is a great experience out there. There's full bar and entertainment. And it's obviously right on the water, so
no question.
Wonderful experience.
So tell us what you think about the Atlantic City market now that you're a week into it.
Sure.
I know it'll take a little more to absorb it, but what's your impression of what the Hard Rock is going to do to the market?
Well, when you look at this market, and we've talked about this a lot, it's a resilient market. I was gone for 12 years from this market. I left in 2005 and came back last year. Through that 12 years, I obviously paid a lot of attention to it.
Right,
I read your commentaries. I read as well as others. And there was clearly a downturn from over $5 billion in gaming revenue to about $2.5 to $2.6 billion. That is clearly a downturn. But even with that, that 2.6 is still the second largest in the country,
right?
Second to Las Vegas. And Atlantic City has always been the second largest market in the country from 1978 when it opened until as we're speaking right now. So that's really never changed.
Right.
We believe very strongly that Atlantic City is incredibly well situated to primary markets, North Jersey, New York, Philadelphia, with incredible access, which you don't see in every market. You go to California markets, the access is two-lane roads.
Mm-hmm.
And here it's you know, Parkway, it's the expressway, and the access is very, very, very good to get into Atlantic City, which is we take for granted, but when you work in other markets, that's something that people don't take for granted.
Sure, right.
And having that access to such large markets is what has made Atlantic City the second largest market in the country.
Right.
I've talked about this before. When you look at the 2017 gross operating profit results for Atlantic City, there's four casinos that did over $100 million in profit, in gross operating profit. That's very unusual for any market.
Right.
In Las Vegas, you have that, sure, but there's not a lot of casinos in the country that do over $100 million in gross operating profit.
Right.
They exist, certainly, but to have four of them in one market, that's a big deal.
Right.
There's certainly not a lot that do over $300 million, which is what Borgata did.
Right.
So this is still a very resilient, very profitable market, and we're very happy to be a part of it.
Right. Now, you have a casino that opened at the same day that you did, Ocean Resort, right down the boardwalk. I know you're glad to see more rooms in the market. Are you glad to see more gambling in the market?
Well, absolutely. I think that anything that's going to attract more guests to this market is a positive for everybody. We need to expand the market past where it's been in the last couple of years. And I think that the amenities that we're offering, the amenities that our competitors are offering, it adds to the overall product that people come here for. Mm-hmm. So do I think it's positive? Absolutely.
Okay. I was talking to an entertainment director at one of the other properties, and I said, you know, there's going to be entertainment, you know, every day of the year at Hard Rock. He said, yeah, they've tried that before and it never worked. why are you positive that it's going to work?
I think it's the reason this makes more sense at this property is because of the brand.
Right.
I think if this was, you know, Joe's Casino, or it would probably not make as much sense.
Right.
But I think that with the Hard Rock brand, that this is, again, it's synonymous with music. We're seeing it from the ticket sales. We're seeing it from the reception we're getting from the guests that are coming here for the events, that it's already a very positive thing.
Great. Well, man, I've been very impressed with this property just in the week it's been opened. I popped in here over the weekend, over July 4th. I was actually in here, and it was jamming.
It was humming, yeah.
So I guess you guys are pretty happy with what's happening so far. As Jim Allen said to you, we're turning you over a Ferrari, so better not crash it.
it's a fun car to drive.
Yeah, no question. Obviously, we're looking toward the shoulder seasons in the winter is a difficult part. Are you making plans for those type of environments?
Well, sure. I mean, we're always, as business people, we're always planning for the future. So,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Great. Well, Matt, thanks for the time. I'd like to catch up in a few months here after we got some time under our belts and see where it is.
I look forward to it, Roger. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Great.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of the GGB Podcast, brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing service for land-based and online casinos in North America. To learn more about the gaming industry, visit GGBMagazine.com, or for a weekly update, visit GGBNews.com. Follow us on Twitter at Global Gaming Biz, or on LinkedIn and Facebook at Global Gaming Business Magazine. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week on the Global Gaming Business Podcast.